This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV begins right now. As the voice guy said, Ira to my left, Corey to my right, you guys watching on camera, we appreciate you on the chat there on War Chant TV. And for those of you just listening at home, appreciate you as you stream and or listen on terrestrial radio. This hour brought to you by Registers, you can say it, Sausage, why don't you say it?
I think you can say it better.
Registers.
Or you could just say Yay Sausage and people know what you're talking
sausage.
About.
Yay Sausage! There it is.
Yay right. Something. Something you can say yay about, at least.
Kim was like indignant the other night. She was at the store. And,
did she yell yay sausage?
Well, she realized that we didn't have any. We were out of our supply. Mm. Ben's, you know, he's been gracious with the goodies, but we're out. We've eaten so much of the sausage, we're out of it.
She went through mine.
We did. She had to go buy, actually purchase a registered sausage.
Man.
She's like, tell Ben I had to actually go buy it. I was like, I think Ben's taking care of us, too.
I think Ben's going to be pretty cool about that,
actually. Yeah,
He probably said it's about damn time.
But, yeah, we had some of the short links the other day. Man, there's so many good quality sausage from Register Sausage. You can get them in your grocery store. If you live in North Florida, Central Florida, Jacksonville, over into Alabama and South Georgia. And if you're out of this area, go complain. Complain at your store. That's what we're telling you to do. We're not telling you to start a fight.
No.
But you can.
Well, do what you have to do.
Well, civil disobedience. Never heard of anybody.
Good trouble. Yeah. So what I would tell you is you're screwed if you're in Anchorage.
Well, we're
that's
not
the only thing that happened.
Things have taken a bad turn in your life anyway if you've wound up in Anchorage.
But anywhere else, you can order it at registermeats.com. They've got unbelievably quality delivery. Comes fresh to your house. And purchase registermeats.com because they support Seminole Headlines.
A lot of pity sausage.
0-4 goes the record for Florida State. Mm. And I'm wondering, do you guys eagerly anticipate the post-game video recording outside the stadium? Do you, like, start talking about it early in the first quarter?
I get it.
I'm saying, like, so it's 31-7.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of time to think about constructing thoughts. I mean, there's a lot of football still to be played at that point.
Hey, that game was up in doubt.
Yeah.
It absolutely was.
Yeah, down the stretch it was. But anyhow, you had, like, initially, anyhow, after the five consecutive drives in which Louisville scored.
Right.
You thought, okay, well, it's probably not going to end well.
We were going to actually
You should have gone and recorded it while it was still daylight, maybe, and then just said, screw it.
Well, I wanted to record it from Adam Fuller's office just to see if people were coming and taking stuff out. That's where I was at, you know, with 2 minutes to go in that first half. I'm like, man, how can he survive? How can he still have a job on Monday if they go out and give up 60 points?
And then they have the best sustained defensive performance over the course of 2.5 quarters that we've seen in years.
Yeah, it was the last time an offense had less than 79. They gave up 79 yards on Saturday in the second half. The last time an offense had less than that against a Florida State defense, an FBS offense, was Wake in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And we all remember that game. It seems like the two programs have gone in a different direction.
Things have gone south since.
That was only eight years ago, isn't that long ago, to be where we are now. It really kind of, it's stunning. But, hey, we don't need to relitigate how we got here. But
what I do want to do, and I've spent some time on this. Because
that weight game was fun. Remember, they scored a touchdown on defense like every other play?
No, it was a lot of fun. A lot of things were fun in 2013.
We thought Nate Andrews was going to be an All-American.
Yeah, he's the next Sean Taylor.
So here's the deal, though. I mean, I did kind of go at this a little differently after the game. Obviously, nobody's happy to be 0-4. But even in the postgame, then you and I on Sunday night with the Sunday Smash and on my show yesterday, look, in a season that's a lost cause in terms of garnering the number of wins you would like to see. That ain't happening. Right. I mean, they're not going to win six games. They're not going to a bowl. They're just not. So you have to find, and I keep preaching this, you have to find something that gives you a sense that they're getting better at something or building towards something, or maybe there are elements where of real growth that you can identify. To a certain extent, certainly when a game gets lopsided, mentalities shift. You have to account for that when you give the analysis of what happened with Louisville. But also, you can believe what you saw in terms of this team understanding and reading their keys properly, triggering violently downhill, playing with speed and ferocity. Also, great leverage and technique. These are things that we haven't always seen. So if it's sustained at all against Syracuse in the first half, then you will have seen for the first time this year some carryover. Now, that's a big if. And I think that's where we sit on a Tuesday. You're kind of like, well, I want to believe that that was real growth because I thought I saw real evidence of growth in a loss, as disappointing as it is. We won't know until the Syracuse game starts. And who knows, maybe Syracuse runs a play-action pass in the first two plays of the game and scores a touchdown like everybody else does against
Florida
State.
That's what people do.
Who knows?
Well, it's funny, man. This whole situation, part of the problem with that game, and that was your approach, and in our wrap after the game.
But I meant it. I wasn't just doing it.
I know. Yeah, and in our wrap after the game, we were kind of like, man, it's hard to be as angry as you were 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Because of what you did see in the second half. And so that's something that you can maybe hold on to. And it's funny, man, like people on social media, I tweeted about it yesterday because so many people who are done, you know, they're done with this staff. They're done with Norvell. Done with Florida State football. They're convinced it may never come back again. When you say anything about the second half, they're just like, oh, big deal. They didn't quit. Or Louisville had shut it down. It's like, man, no, Louisville had not shut it down. They were only up by 11 points for most of the second half. And second of all, they have not looked like that at any other point. I mean, it's not like the other team just made mistakes.
Yeah, they missed wide open receivers all over the field.
Because you've seen that sometimes. Yeah. This was, man, they were beating blocks. You saw dudes playing with reckless abandon. And so you have to, that is a positive sign.
Yes, it is.
You can't ignore that. Now, if they go out and stink Saturday, then ignore it.
Then it's like, it's the anomaly.
That's right. That's the part that is real, is that both can be true. You can say, look, I saw a moment of real growth, guys playing defense in a way that you expect them to based on an understanding of what they're being asked to do. They were physical. Again, how many times were they able to flatten things off? And they played with great leverage. Mm-hmm. And then they came up and made tackles like they knew what they were doing. I don't doubt that to some degree Louisville's mindset shifted, but Florida State also played a lot better. That's true. Now, if it's not sustained, well, then you have a real problem if you're Adam Fuller, because then you cannot simply get your team to, for any prolonged period of time, certainly not to start games, ever come out and do anything that you're asking of him.
Well, isn't that the problem? Like, now you've seen it. Everybody's been making the argument that they don't have talent. And it's like, well, you see that? And it's like, dude, if you guys can do that, then why the hell aren't you doing that?
Yeah, I mean, look, man, again, 79 yards is crazy. Like, they had two first downs. And I know Cunningham had a long touchdown run taken back. But the reason he had the touchdown run is because of a blatant hold in the middle of the field. Yeah, he's not scoring otherwise. And the same on his other long run. Those holds weren't
away from the play.
They were the reason he had the lane that he ran. It's good that ACC refs called it, too. Who knew that could happen?
Miraculous.
So you do have hope that, okay, maybe something changed. And if they go out, it'll be, to me, like the Notre Dame game. Like, I thought the offense carried over exactly nothing from the fourth quarter of the Notre Dame game.
That also had to do with approach.
Zilch. They didn't carry over anything.
Yeah.
And so I could understand fans hearing, like, let's see what they look like this week. If they go out and lay an egg against Syracuse in the first half and give up 28 points, that's a wrap for Fuller, probably.
I think it is.
Have now seen what the potential is. And that it didn't seem fluky. It was eight straight drives where Louisville did jack squat. Yeah. And Louisville's a decent offense. They're not terrible. They won't have another second half this year where they have 79 yards. They were dominated. So if you can dominate for a half and then come out against a worse offense in the 7 days later and look like you give up another 3-4 touchdowns, look like you haven't prepared, look like you're not coached, and wait till halftime to turn it on again? No, man, that's a wrap.
Well, you just won't ever believe.
Keep doing this. Yeah, you won't ever believe.
You won't ever believe.
That it's real.
No. And for good reason. You'll have had ample evidence not to believe that it could be sustained. There are other things about the team that remain true and will for each and every single game you watch this year, and that is the disappointing part. And that is that they really don't have a quarterback on this roster. They don't have one that can play with any degree of consistency. Certainly they don't have one.
One that we've seen. Jordan can't stay healthy, and that I think now we know, right? Like,
I mean, I think we kind of knew
you,
for it.
But you go into this season thinking, okay, well, maybe last year was just a bunch of bad luck. But again, we are, what are we, 70 snaps into his season, and he's out again? You just can't depend on him going into next year.
And now you see he's hurt with the knee and shoulder, mm-hmm. and so you can't believe that. I mean,
yeah, he's got that big knee brace on. Yeah. So my point being, like, you go into next year, like, you, Jordan Travis will probably still be on the roster. Mackenzie Milton won't be here, but Travis will still be on the roster, but you can't. You can't think, okay, this is the guy we can hitch our wagon to. So you either hope that A.J. Duffy comes in as a true freshman is awesome, the transfer portal is good to you, or Chuba Purdy is the guy they thought he was when they recruited him. And the only way I think you can find that out is to play him. But I wouldn't play him this Saturday because you want to win this game.
Because you can actually win this game.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah, it does make sense. I think if you can get him some reps, I would too.
Especially the last six games of the year. Like, a couple of those, you're losing. It doesn't matter how well you play. Get him some reps, real game reps. Because he was, if you go back to the second half of that NC State game, it's a pretty well quarterback game. You know, it was only half he played really all year that was any good. But he was pretty good in that second half.
I'd like to see him get some action possibly this game just because – I think that
maybe when you get out to a 31-0 lead,
yeah, but not in the same situation.
You can pull your starters,
not the way they did the Jacksonville State game. Not that way.
No, you can't do that, man. You just can't do that. They, you know, look.
Hey, wait a minute. Not only can you not do that, I don't know that you'll win even if you play well. This Syracuse team is not good. They might be better than Florida State. So we're not even entertaining the idea of like, hey, let's just throw so and so in there. Well, hold on. Are we not? May not be better than Syracuse, so let's slow up here. I'm done assuming anything other than UMass,
and even then, who knows?
Who knows?
Let me throw this out. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Maurice Smith comes back, and it seems like it's getting closer, and if Robert Scott gets healthier, he's still obviously not healthy.
No,
and I don't know if that's something he is going to be. I don't know. Maybe that's something you deal with all year.
Well, that's
know.
Problematic because he got whooped in this game. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it twice, and there are some moments that are not pretty. I know he's trying to give it a go. I'm not dogging the kid, and I know they put him out there at right tackle because they were trying to hide him a little bit, but, man, that wasn't pretty.
But if the offensive line plays better, I do think McKenzie, and as limited as he is, I think they're getting a better feel for what he can do. One of the things I'd like to see them do, if they can, we talked about it a little bit on Sunday, and I asked Kenny about it yesterday, was just trying to get a little more tempo going because that's what he did.
Got to win first down in order for that to work. But it's also how the run game works, by the way. That inside zone, that all happens if you don't lose yardage on first down and you don't have a nightmare on first down. Other team can't get set, and you're able to go at pace.
And part of that's on him because he took some sacks on. I'm pretty sure he took sacks on first downs.
He didn't play well. The sad part, honestly, with him is you can see the mind still works. Like, his pre-snap, he understands it. Mm-hmm. He just physically can't do certain things, and then they're not very good to begin with, so there are other things that aren't going to work even if he sees it.
I'm going to throw out a hypothetical to you guys. If this was the 2018 Mackenzie Milton that had just transferred to Florida State, what would their record be? Because I think they're 3-1.
It could be 4-0, but definitely 3-1.
It's 3-1.
Could be 4-0.
Yeah, well, and I also doubt they would have 6 turnovers against Wake, so they could have well been.
Does that give you hope, or does that make you a little more depressed? Like,
no, I mean, it's just not the reality of the situation.
Remember what Bowden said after the 09 Florida game? Like, look, you take away Tebow and Hart Percy and give them to us.
Yeah.
And now, look, if Tebow and Harvin.
He was incorrect on that, by the way. But
if Tebow and Harvin, two of the best college football players of all time,
would have helped.
Had been on Florida State, they probably win 8 or 9 games that year, not just 7. But I do think the program is gotten better. The team is better than it was last year, to the point where if you had a good quarterback, just a good one, not 18 Mackenzie Milton great, just a good one, EJ Manuel 2012. I think they're 3-1 or 4-0. But, I mean, then people hear that and say, oh, all they need is a first-round quarterback? Maybe.
No, just a better quarterback. I mean, that's
good quarterback
the
play.
Reason we thought, and I didn't, you know, none of us thought they were going to be an 8 or 9 or 10-win team, but the reason we thought they'd be a 6-win team or maybe a 7-win team is we thought the quarterback play was going to be much better than it's been.
Where's James Blackman? Where's Jay Black? Get him back here, man.
You know, what hurts, too, is, yes, the quarterback play is bad. And then they have also, unfortunately, and this seems to happen when you're in a bad cycle, they've had injuries at the one position you can't have injuries. Right. I mean, they didn't even have a good offensive line to begin with. I know they said they had 7 guys they liked. I call BS on that. I think they maybe had 6. And then one guy gets kicked off a team, 2 guys get hurt.
Yeah. Well, that guy wasn't one they liked, I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think he was one of the 6.
He definitely
or 7.
Was. Lucas was definitely part of the 7.
I mean, I don't think they loved him, but he's one of the 7.
And that's why he also was in there when other guys got hurt. He's the next up.
But he also wasn't starting, so they weren't in love with him.
He and Bavion, I think, were the 2 off the bench.
Yeah. But those two, so Bavion's actually played decent for what he is. Bavion's played pretty decent. But obviously Dante couldn't be trusted and is no longer on the team. And then you had 2 other injuries to very critical positions.
And I think Brady's 8th. Original group.
Right. He can't play like. So the point is that you're down to like 4 guys that are marginal. And that's the one group you couldn't have an injury. So that's a deadly combination when you don't have a good offensive line and you don't have a starting quarterback.
But here's the thing. They don't have a good offensive line. Their quarterback isn't playing well. They had 450 yards in that game. This isn't an abomination of an offense.
They got 2 good backs, and when they play with tempo, they can run that inside zone, and those 2 backs can create and make guys miss in a hole and do some things.
They're terrible in situations.
They will be all year.
And they give up negative plays way too often. This game, they didn't have penalties, but they had negative plays, which are the same. A minus four-yard run or a false start. You'd rather have the false start. First and 15 is better than second and 14.
I agreed, but pre-snap penalties where you don't get lined up, delay of games, and false starts are a direct reflection on coaching.
It's a more systematic problem.
Yeah, but they only had 1 of those this week.
Right. I'm saying I'd rather just play it.
You were saying it might be better to have a false start, and he's saying no.
I know, just for the drive's sake, but not for the way it looks.
Yeah, but that's the thing. And I sometimes feel disingenuous when we ask questions to Kenny Dillingham or Norvell about the offense in situations because it's like, well, why can't you guys do better in short yardage? So it's like, dude, look at our – or why can't you guys – if you have a negative play, why is the drive over? Well, I mean, what they'd like to say is, man, look around you.
Yeah.
What he wants to do? We can't pass protect when they know that we have to throw the ball.
they want to be Beamer answering the question about Georgia. Yeah. I mean, which was a great answer.
The problem is they weren't playing Georgia. They're playing Louisville or Wake Forest.
But that's kind of anybody they play right now. Right. That kind of mismatch is what's happening where you just go, well –
And he basically did last week with Wake Forest because it's like, hey, why didn't you run into a 6-man box? He's like, well, we couldn't block him.
Yeah, we tried.
So
tried a few times.
So it's a tough situation. So we understand that. But at the same point, and that's what, you know, I think where they've really hurt themselves is some of the critical decisions they make that have been poor. They're so magnified because you have so many limitations.
You have to maximize your chances to win when you don't have a very good team, and they're not doing it.
They're never going to be good, and we got to go to break, but they're never going to be good in situations this year, Corey, in the red zone. Anything to do with the red zone because the field shrinks and they can't block it.
Throw it up to one of your guys. Just go get it, right?
You either have to be able to move people up front, which they can't do, or you got to win one-on-ones.
Yeah, they can't do that either. And, oh, by the way, in the red zone, it's critical to have a tight end. Right.
They have 11 on the roster.
Well, they better find out if Jackson West can play starting now because
4 is struggling.
Jordan Wilson doesn't need to be out there ever again. If you go back and watch that game play for play, holy jeez, he's terrible. Terrible. Yeah. Like, I can't.
Look, man, he's trying hard.
I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. Can't play a lick.
Well, he doesn't catch well.
Yeah, he doesn't block anybody.
That was Jeff Cameron Jordan, by the way. I don't know if you've seen Jordan lately, Jeff.
Hey, man, he's massive and he could kill me. It doesn't matter. You're here to play football,
I'm just
baby. Do something. That's terrible. Okay, well, I've made my point. It is Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us. You might see us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a – I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women at some bars.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food.
legitimately the most good important food. Part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar, they got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats really that? Good. He does. At Horizons Bar
and
Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's and if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the... right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Go to warchant.com. You can read the latest on Florida State football and what the coaches had to say. Corey, your question and, more importantly, I guess, Mike Norvell's answer. Maybe not more importantly.
Yeah, I think the question was, without the question, there's no answer.
What's funny is how people think like that was this like hard-hitting, tough question.
No, it was a really softball. Wasn't. It was a beautiful question. You gave him an outlet.
Yeah, and genuinely, that's the only thing that any Florida State fan should be worried about over the next 2 months is, what are you doing with this recruiting class, man? Because we see the team.
So I mean, you basically asked it, and I like that you said not to belabor the point, like, because it's all negative now. How can it not be that it's 0-4?
What happened was I'd asked the recruits question, and I might have fumbled it into making it more of a general question about the state of the program. And so all he did was talk about the state of the program and the players on the team. And I genuinely wanted to know, what are you telling recruits?
Messaging,
So after his two-minute answer there, I got the mic back and asked, that's why I said sorry to belabor it, but what are you telling the recruits?
What are you telling them? Well, and so, you know, it seems like it occurred to him as he began to answer it exactly what an opportunity it
that's
was.
That's what I was saying.
And
he wasn't mad. People think he was pissed
mad.
At you. He
no,
wasn't.
No, I don't
think
mad
so.
At all.
He just, he
should
kind
say
of,
thank
and
you,
he,
by the way.
Well, and he knows better than get to piss
well, that's
at me.
True.
I mean,
good point.
Thank whoever that is.
Good point.
Ira, thank whoever that is. We've got a couple so far. I don't know who that is. I can't see all the way over.
Sky Ninja FSU.
Good job, Sky Ninja.
We appreciate
you. Yeah, I mean, obviously Mike doesn't want any part of this. He's not going to bow up.
But like, he talked himself into, like, he realized.
Yes. And I was the face of the outside noise that's criticizing the program. I became that face.
Well, but here's the important part about the diatribe is that there's a nice balance of understanding that it's perfectly reasonable for the fan base to acknowledge we suck.
Yes.
And it's perfectly reasonable to understand how at 31-7, they might be pissed off.
Yeah, they might leave.
Yeah. And so he didn't do the thing that some coaches make the mistake of doing, which is,
you're either with us or against us.
Yeah, or the frustrations you let out on the fans and the outside people. No, he knows the deal, man. They're 0-4. He knows that's garbage. And he also knows that they should not have. Get it together.
Hey, man.
He
knows. How
powerful
are these mics?
It's the soda, you got to get it together.
Why don't you push your mute button?
Yeah, exactly. It's also that he knows they should have never lost to Jacksonville State. So he can't avoid the fact that they made some colossal mistakes, missteps. Yeah. So I thought it was on balance smart the way he handled every layer of the criticisms and also the way they're thinking about it and the way that he believes that recruits are thinking about it. It gave you insight into, you know, an understanding and frustration, but also we're doing things the right way. And he got to tell you kind of how, and we're going to stick with that. And I thought it was the right tone.
You know, what was also really cool about it was that I think we've seen it, like we've been to practice. Mm-hmm. So we've seen that Mike Norvell. I don't know that the fans maybe realize that that's who he is. And that was one of I talked to somebody over at FSU yesterday in the administration about it. And they're like, that's the guy we hired. Like that's when we did the interview, you could see that intensity. You could feel it. When we spoke to him and we'd seen him coach before, and you see it at practice.
Oh, sure.
And that's what I asked David Johnson, who's a recruiting coordinator today, about it. Like, how important do you think that would be for recruits to see that? And he goes, well, that's who he is every day. That's how he talks to those guys. But it was good for the fans to see it.
Yeah. You want, because I brought this up on Wake Up Porch. Like, Florida State fans have now been through the last year of Jimbo, where he was checked out, 2 years of Willie. And Willie was used to losing. He had a losing record when he got here. So him losing 34-7 to Syracuse or whatever it was, he was upset. He was disappointed. I'm not saying he wasn't. But that wasn't new territory for Willie. He had built programs from the ground up and had horrible seasons. Florida State fans aren't used to this at all. They've never been – Mike Norvell and Willie Taggart, especially probably Willie Taggart, have been through these kind of things a lot more than any of us have. So him, it's just like he's been so measured after these losses and explanatory, which is what you want to do.
Yeah.
But he kind of not lost it, but he showed like, yeah, I'm pissed. I'm pissed to be 0-4. And I think that's good for your fans to see that you're not accepting it.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it every week.
Well,
you
know,
it's important.
Can,
it's important not to
I'm gonna
do it
keep
every
asking
week.
That question no, every week. What are you telling recruits now that you're 0-5?
I really think that we've got to circle back and have you in on the teleconference for Georgia every week and continue to ask Kirby Smart about the decision.
The Justin Fields
thing. We really got to reintroduce
not this
that.
Week, though, after his debut in the NFL, yeah. But when he has his first good game in the NFL.
No, I'm just saying, you should have. I mean, yeah. There were plenty of good games at Ohio State.
Kirby, do you regret it all? I know you're number two in the nation.
I know you're preparing for your upcoming game against Arkansas, but I was curious.
Did you? What are your thoughts on, like, Jake Fromm doesn't play at all in the NFL. Yeah. Justin Fields is starting now. Do you regret that
early
decision
in the
at
draft,
all?
Too. Yeah, that'd be great. So, anyhow. No, it's got to be at the right time. I think
everything about it was perfect. And the
timing was right.
What's funny is even like the very end when he said, like, don't
you
ask any
ask
other questions. What was funny about it was two questions or a question before your question, Derek had said there'll be two more questions. So he's got it in his head. There's going to be two more questions. Well, he didn't see me give the mic back to Krista and Derek basically say, like, we're done. So when he was expecting another question, he wasn't like, it wasn't like the way it came off is he was saying, what, you guys are afraid to ask another question?
Oh, no,
it wasn't that.
It wasn't that.
He thought he was going to get another question.
What was your question going to be?
Oh, something intelligent. I'm sure. Honestly.
Probably piercing.
It was something.
Insight.
I think it was something about the, I can't remember.
Well,
something.
It would have been funny.
We've all
like,
been there.
That's why I said
a kicking game or
once,
something.
Once I saw where he was going,
like,
I was like, well, I can't.
Here.
I'm not.
It would have been really funny if you had just asked something banal. If you had just been like, special teams coach.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Just like the whole room would have looked over.
When Dillingham walked in, I was like, good luck, buddy. Good luck following that up.
Yeah.
It's like a comedian when they followed. Like,
did he hear it?
I don't know. It's a good question. Sometimes I think they're back there watching it, but I don't know. Because sometimes they'll say like, oh, like coach said. But I don't know if
they'll reference it. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Any chance they're 1-1 on October the 10th, guys, over the next two games? We get a win here against Syracuse and then a loss to North Carolina and then we're going to the bye week 1-1. We're starting over.
Could be 2-0. Yeah,
September doesn't
right
count.
Could be 2-0.
This is an October
starting
program.
Fresh. That's
after,
right.
After Corey turned around the season yesterday, maybe. Mm. I've had so many people, there's so many posts on the message boards, somebody texted me earlier and they're like, hey man, like all these negative FSU fans I've been talking to are like, that turned around the season.
Oh, no, it didn't. They're still terrible.
Well, that's the thing, man. If they go out
they
and lay,
to,
it,
they have to
man,
play
if
well.
They lay an egg and give up 21 points in the first quarter, just in the misery. Do so. I mean, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
I can't
week
do it anymore.
Week.
You
yeah.
keep looking for any hope. It's like, okay, that defense was incredible in the second half. There's some hope.
Corey's gonna be like the dude from the with Jimbo the. When
yeah.
he's asking,
yeah.
the,
get better coaches. He's like, come stay to my
face.
Yeah.
It's like Norvell
yeah.
at halftime.
Come on down and stay to my face.
At halftime, Norvell's going to be walking to the locker room. He's going to stop at the sideline reporter, and Corey's going to be in the first row yelling, what are you telling the recruit?
Yeah.
What are you telling the recruit?
What are you saying now? What are you saying now?
Got another great
again.
Speech there, coach.
Yeah,
so it's October. We start fresh. We cut it off right here. We'll pretend September, which has
September
been
never happened.
A brutal month for Florida State football for the last number of years.
Next year will be two, but they get Duquesne in August, which is big. You get that 1-0 start. Yeah. Travis Hunter, probably three touchdowns, two on one offense, one on defense, and you go into that LSU game feeling good.
So the Duquesne game's a little bit like helping your putting statistics by being on the fringe and not on the green, so when you miss it doesn't count as a missed putt.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be 1-0? It's been 5 years since they've been 1-0. It's crazy.
There's a lot of numbers like that just floating
yeah.
around the
what
program.
Was cool, what was,
like the record in the last 50 games.
What was funny when Norvell, when he said, we're 0-4, it's the first time since whenever. I don't give a – and I was wondering if he's going to say the S word or the F word.
I think the F word.
I think the F word was coming.
But he did it twice. He also said, working our blanks. Like he said, yeah. change butts. Like
yeah.
he went to butts instead of that.
Yeah, like, let it fly, Mike. We're all adults.
Let it go, baby.
Yeah.
He's worried about the national clip, though.
Well,
he won't be able
right.
to use it there. You know? Yeah. He won't be able to use it. So it's Syracuse at 3:30, and then it's on to Chapel Hill. You taking the hill?
Yeah, I'm going there for that one. Yep.
Pretty fired up about it.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to remember if I went to the last time they played was the Ponder to Rod Owens game.
I was there for that one.
And I can't remember. Was I there? Do you remember?
I don't know, man.
I love that we've been covering the game so long.
Everything's a blur.
Steve Ellis was there, RIP, and I broke the bridge in my mouth. My teeth are, you know, these are all fake.
Yeah.
I broke my bridge, and it came out.
You were that excited about the Rod Owens touchdown?
I was like, he's going to go. He's going to go. And I just punched myself in the face.
Wasn't it like 96 yards or something? It was
98, man.
98 yards?
Do you remember, moreover, the smash route to Bo Relliford? That throw is an incredible throw.
I think Fortson had a couple big catches. Yeah. All the names from the past that we remember, all the greats.
That throw is a great throw, though. That's like one of the underrated throws. I remember saying at the time, because he's on the wide side of the field, and he has to throw all the way across, and it's just perfectly in rhythm. And I remember thinking, man, that's a throw that NFL people are going to be really excited to see on tape.
Yeah, Ponder was good that for that stretch. Really good. It's a good offense because it was a bad defense. The other Jamie Robinson was on that defense.
Jamie Robinson still lives in town, by the way.
Okay. All right. Good.
He's a good guy.
He's here watching some bad football with the rest of us.
Yeah, he gets to see it up close and personal like we all do.
That's the thing, man. Like, and again, I'm not expecting Purdy or Rodemaker to be anything like that, but Ponder was a revelation in the sense that nobody, I mean, when he signed, a lot of people just thought he was David Ponder's son, and that's why he signed.
Correct.
And I mean, he was a nice player, but nothing.
Jimbo walked in and said, you got the wrong quarterback starting.
Exactly.
I mean, it was one of the first things he said to me.
He was buried on the depth chart.
Yeah.
So you see stuff like that happen. So could it ever happen?
I like it. Throw it out there.
Could it happen?
Might there be a superstar waiting in the wings?
But I think that's why, like, from a fan standpoint, you're like, okay, we've seen this. Can we try something else? Can we roll something else out there?
The difference is, and taking this seriously, is that Jimbo, of course, had to play a different role then at that point. He comes in just basically to kind of fix the offense, right? He's the OC. Later on, he's the head coach in waiting, and he can look at a roster and be like, they're doing the wrong things here. I think Mike has correctly evaluated the quarterback position here.
Yeah, no, I do.
I don't think he's like. I don't think it's this gross oversight that there's some guy like Tate Rodemaker waiting to be a star.
I guess my
and
question
just not playing him.
No, I got you. I guess my question is, couldn't you figure out something to do with Chubba Purdy's skill set? Like that's the thing. And I guess this is where I have an infantile understanding of college football, but I just feel like you could figure out something if somebody's got some talents, like his running ability, his athleticism. It seems like you could figure out something like what they did with Jordan last year.
Yeah, but even that, it wasn't a...
I'm not saying it's a good solution. I'm just saying I don't know that what they're doing now is going to get a whole lot better.
Well, the proof is there. It's not.
So
not with this guy in his current form. He's just not...
Well, but also that offensive line.
But when you don't have a great offensive line, maybe a guy that can avoid some sacks and get some first downs with his legs helps the offense. You don't depend on Corbin busting off big runs or the right arm of a guy that's not very good anymore, but... For health reasons.
Well, I know, but you're the one who just said, don't sit him for Syracuse.
No, because you worry. I don't think Milton's going to have – I know he had the game against Wake. I thought those were anomalies. I don't think Milton's going to have a 4-turnover game. He's not going to lose you a game by throwing two
there
pick
were some
sixes. You worry about that with a kid
that
hasn't played this season.
Yeah, no,
my point is
I don't think that they're sitting on some superstar waiting to be and improperly holding him back from starting. I do think that your best option right now is a very limited McKenzie Milton because of what he understands about what he's looking at pre-snap. You just have to stay ahead of the chains. When they get behind and teams can get set, you can't
run anything.
I don't care who's playing quarterback.
If you get to second 13 or
Chubba,
if Robert Scott has a false start, you just bring in Chubba Purdy on first down and 15 because Milton ain't getting it done on first and 15.
I just think if you listen to what we're saying out loud, it really does properly highlight just how desperate their situation is. I mean, you would have to do this Mickey Mouse just running around. Okay, it's third and 7. Is that Chubba?
Chubba's third and 5 or less.
You're in a situation where I understand what you're saying. Like, I think if you're going to start to play him, you're going to make a decision moving forward. Okay, the season's a wash.
I mean, because you're not, you know, at the beginning of the season, their goal was to win 6-7 games.
Right, and they're not.
That's gone now. No. So now, to me, the focus needs to be a little bit more on 2022.
But you would get him ready during the bye week. You would say, let's get him to the bye week. Let's get him prepared to play. Hey, everybody, here's UMass. Let him play against UMass. He beats UMass's ass. Then he gets the fun against Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
But
that might be a Milton game.
No, you know, I don't
you
think
don't want to spoil Chuba's confidence.
I don't think. No, I think once you make the decision, if you give him, if you say, all right, now listen, they could expedite this process, lose to Syracuse. All bets are off at that point. You might as well start Chuba the rest of the year. A, to find out if he can play even a lick. B, maybe to show A.J. Duffy that he can't. Whatever at that point, because it doesn't do you any good anymore to continue to roll out there with McKenzie. If he loses to Syracuse in this game,
yeah,
what are we doing?
Right. One thing I liked that Kenny Dillingham said yesterday was, and I, you know, and I get it, man, like, because I'm not, I understand, we've talked about the offensive line. We understand the issues there.
Oof.
And so the idea that just because Jayshon Corbin and Trayshon Ward are really good, that you can just run them a million times doesn't make sense. But I thought he was like, look, well, we got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And we can't just let numbers dictate that we're going to not run the ball. We're not going to go to an RPO and throw it outside. If those guys are our best guys and we need to give them the ball, even if the numbers don't dictate it. So I like that, that at least they're willing to adjust that approach.
Yeah, build around the two players that are pretty good to well above average.
They're very good, man. Yeah, they're good running backs.
Sean Gone backfield.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think they're – yeah, I'm saying –
they're not Dalvin Cook,
no,
but they're
not
very good.
They're not game changers, but they're good players. They are legitimately good players. I agree with you. So you
well,
don't really
have –
as
bad as you say this offensive line is, for somebody to be averaging 9 yards a carry must mean he's the next Barry Sanders.
Well, what I would tell you is that when you go back and look at either one of his plays or Corbin's big plays –
no, I was talking about Corbin.
You talking about Corbin?
Yeah, he's averaging 9 a carry.
Okay, so he's averaged 9 a carry, and he's got an 89. How long was the run against Notre Dame?
89 and a 75.
Okay, so now go ahead. Those are two plays. Now do the average without those two.
No,
plays.
It's still six.
What I'm saying? No,
no. And I'm telling you, it's like this last game. He had 11 carries right. for 159 yards.
Mm-hmm.
75 was on one play. That's still 10 for 80.
Oh, no, no. He was effective. I think he's a good player. I'm just saying it's a misnomer to say, well, you got a guy sitting there averaging 9 yards
well,
to carry.
Of course,
why don't you give him the ball more?
Gave...
I mean, come on. He's not going to continue to – that's not
– No, obviously
two
not.
Huge plays.
Obviously
but
not.
He's popping three runs a game.
Yeah.
I just say, and my thing is those first two plays in that first drive where you gave Pokey Wilson Malik McClain chances to win one-on-ones, how about let Nate and Zero try to win one-on-ones?
Well, again – I think that it's really paramount that you win even a little bit on first down. So then you can run tempo and give them the opportunity. I think when defenses are set, you don't see either really one of those guys make plays. And it's not their fault. It's just because their offensive line is going to get blown up. When a defense is set, we don't run the ball effectively. Florida State doesn't. They don't. And we can go back and look at all these. When a defense is set and they're not on their heels and we're not playing tempo and we have one first, they don't get yardage. It's crazy. Now, some of that in the Notre Dame game when they played back, we got a ton of yards and we were willing to take it. Yeah. Florida State was willing to take it. But you watch, like, it's brutal.
But
one of the reasons that they're calling.
Those guys can make plays, they can make people miss.
Yeah, nobody else on the team seems to be
able
to do
that. We're in agreement on that. I'm saying that the answer isn't solely to say, well, if we just gave them 10 more carries apiece,
no, for sure.
All would be. No, it
but,
wouldn't be solved.
But you also can't walk out of a game with where they only get 10 each.
I mean, they had 20 carries total for over 200 yards.
No, they had a great game.
But you threw the quarter. You had the quarterback drop back and throw and take six sacks. You had 35 passing plays called.
Of course, that's not designed to happen. The quarterback holding the ball or
yeah,
jumping
I know,
over
but
grass.
But they were calling those passing plays.
Because
it's like you can't do that, man. This
you
isn't
also
that
can't
team.
Run the ball 15 times in a row. I'm saying they're not.
There's a happy medium.
They're gonna take it away at some point. Like, oh, you're just not gonna throw it all. You have to keep people honest. They're going to walk folks up at some point and just say, screw that.
We're not going to give it to our running back. We're going to let the quarterback trip out of the pocket.
Well, yeah.
I'm saying at some point, if you decide, if they realize that your quarterback can't throw at all, then the run game all goes away.
Well, I mean, I would have thought that would have already happened. Louisville, I can't imagine Louisville came in that game thinking, we got to stop McKenzie Milton and not stop Jashawn Corbin and Trishon Ward.
Yeah.
And yet they still combined over for 200 yards. I mean, that was still they're still number one and number two on the scouting report, I would think.
So it's 31-7.
Right.
And then the offense gets moving running the ball.
Well, they hit, yeah. I mean, they didn't get moving. That's the
no,
thing.
No, the first drive was, the first touchdown drive was mostly passing.
You know, the last one was too. The 2-minute drill was the one that made it 31-13 was all passing. What I'm saying is, you know, there's one sort of strength on this offense, and it's those two guys.
And nobody's arguing that. So we're all in agreement.
Yeah, that's
we're
all just, I'm saying. Just, but I'm not saying to run it 15 times.
I'm letting you know that it's a bit of a mirage, but it is the only thing you have. So we're in agreement there.
But it's their talent's not a mirage.
No, I think they're talented. Okay. But we said that before the season. Nobody's arguing. We all agree.
Well, nobody had any idea Corbin was this.
Like, well, because he hadn't been that explosive.
Right, so we weren't saying that Jashawn Corbin was...
But all three of us said he'd be an important part of the offense. Yeah. All three of us said he was one of your better players on offense. Well, all three of us said he was dependable.
But we thought the quarterbacks would be better, and we thought they would get more out of Keyshawn Helton and a couple of these other receivers. Brian Robinson.
He just back there to let punch drop over his head.
Which is another thing. They can't lose the hidden yardage in special teams on the regular.
They're not even that hidden.
When they rep it.
they're right there for right everybody there. To see.
And they rep the hell out of it. Like, yeah. Nobody reps special teams more than Florida State. That's
who's really that one. We can't blame him for that one. I'll give the coaches credit again for fessing up. Because when they lined up for the punt, we were looking at each other like, why is Helton only 35 yards downfield? And they said that guy's.
He started out 44. He had a couple of bad punts, which I don't remember because they didn't punt much. But he had a couple of bad punts, and they moved him up to be 37 yards. Well,
hell, he didn't punt at all. What punts are they talking about?
He might have had one right before the half.
They were 8 of 9 on third down in the first half.
Yeah, so I don't remember how many punts
he was lined up like he thought one of us was punting.
Yeah.
And then the ball goes 15 yards. And
the guy didn't hit it. It wasn't a Ron Stark 72-yard
in
the air.
It was misplayed by Helton.
But it was 50 yards.
And then it rolled another 29. Yeah, it was crazy.
So you can't let that happen. You're going to get the ball. If you just catch that ball and run forward and fall down, you get the ball at the 33.
I'm just saying it wasn't his fault.
No, it definitely wasn't. It was they told him to scoot up. Yeah. And, you don't want him making a Willie Mays catch over. That's going to hit off his helmet and bounce back. Who knows? So he did the right thing once he couldn't catch it. But why?
It was weird.
You should never be 37 yards from the line of scrimmage in 2021.
He also took a step forward when it came off his foot.
That was another thing.
What are we looking at? It's like a center fielder who misreads it off the bat. You're like, whoa, no, dude, that's to the fence.
Yeah.
I need you to turn and go.
Yeah.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Good question so far. I went through here getting prepared for the next hour, boys.
Ask one.
You want to ask one right now?
Yeah.
All right. So Michael writes, so I'm probably like many Noel fans currently in watching past games to relive glory. But I got to ask, was Kermit Whitfield's return touchdown in the Natty the last time we had a decent 50-plus yard return? Corey, you seem to remember everything. Was there a good return you recollect since then? Oh, wait. There was the Gavin Rumble versus Michigan. Then he wrote, hashtag Jeff thinks all fans are morons. Hashtag I agree.
That was from Sunday night. That Keith Gavin one, man, is an all-timer.
Yeah, because he stops and starts and doesn't know what to do.
Well,
and
he didn't do a whole lot after that.
That's what I'm saying.
Grand opening, grand closing. Anything after?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy that Saban wanted. I mean, Alabama desperately wanted him.
When you look at him,
think
that's a can't miss. I mean, look at that guy. Imagine the moment Saban walked in to meet him, because Saban is 2 feet tall to begin with, but he walks in and he sees that guy.
He gets up on Gavin's shoulder.
Like, look at that.
Yeah. He climbs up Gavin's shoulders like, you're the kind of guy we could use in Tuscaloosa. Well, what can you do, man?
We were talking during the break.
It's been a minute since they've had.
Gavin would be a starter with this rotation.
Yeah, yeah, he might be their go-to guy.
He'd be the guy.
Derwin had a long one that was called back.
Still got to catch it.
Derwin had a long one that was called back. That's the last one that I remember of any true significance of a kick return. And it didn't end up being.
Picked a good time to have the one in the national title.
Kermit, that was a big one.
Yeah.
We were talking during the break about the moment, Mike Norvell's moment yesterday, and maybe how it'll be turned against him if they don't play well this weekend. The other thing that happened last week, similar situation, was the Greg McElroy appearance at Tallahassee Quarterback Club last week that Corey wrote about. I mean, if they had won Saturday, that would have been a great moment, because that story. And
for
I
Greg
think
was, McElroy or for Corey?
No, for
both, for everyone.
For Mike Norvell, for this coaching staff. I mean, Greg McElroy spoke at the quarterback club last week and just could not say enough good things about Mike Norvell. He had gone to practice, said he had gone and watched some of the last practices under Jimbo when he was calling games, when he was just starting out.
Didn't feel good about where it was going.
Didn't like it.
Nope.
Then he came to some games when Willie was the head coach.
Didn't like it.
Didn't like it. came to the ones before Notre Dame and was like, man, this is what it's supposed to look like.
You know, that's universally true of coaches and former players that have had a chance to go and watch practice under Mike Norvell. I mean, it's not just us. It's like you talk to analysts, you talk to people all over the country. That's why you'll hear sort of this unwavering, he'll get it right support from an awful lot of people in both media and those that are paid to analyze the game. It may not look like it on Saturdays.
Yeah.
They're 0-4. They've looked awful at times. There's no doubt there's frustration, but the reason you hear that kind of commentary is that things are buttoned up and they do look organized, and he has a track record of succeeding.
Well, and you know what? If Jordan Travis had broken his ankle in August last year, what would their record have been? Because I'm pretty sure they go 0-9.
Probably.
Maybe 1-8.
The one win against Jacksonville State.
But no, that was
Blackman available against Jacksonville State?
I don't remember. But Rodemaker started that game.
I wonder if Blackman comes off the bench and rallies.
But he's not beating North Carolina. No. And then he's not putting up more than 35 against Duke. Yeah. So they go 1-8 or 0-9 last year. They may
not have even pushed to get that Duke
game rescheduled. Yeah, you're right. So they were awful last year. Awful.
Oh, yeah.
That North Carolina game, it's funny.
It's one of the greatest outliers of all time.
But it almost, like, I guess it wouldn't have it didn't end up mattering, but they were a 1-8 football team last year at best. 0-9, maybe. Talent-wise, what they deserved. I mean, they didn't just lose games. They got annihilated.
Oh, yeah, they were competitive, yeah.
This team, by every measure, other than, the W, the big W.
Other than that.
The one you should have had against Jacksonville State.
Is better than last year's team. Sure. It's probably going to finish with a worse record because it still has to play Clemson and Florida. But I hate saying it. I hate saying it. I grew up with this program like you guys did. I hate saying this. But they are a better program than they were last year if you just ignore the pesky win-loss record. Team.
No, but I think you can be objective and say
that. Who's the
guy you like? Also know.
The F. Is it Femrau? What's his name?
Femrau, yeah. You're talking about advanced metrics. Yeah, yeah.
So I looked at his numbers yesterday. Last year, Florida State was like 103rd in 103 defense, 95 in offense.
Mm-hmm. Awful.
Efficiency. This year, they're 66 and 67.
Yeah.
Still.
Get some.
How do you like that? No, still not good.
Yeah.
But a measured improvement.
Yeah.
They are better than I think they're a better team than they were last year. I think they beat the tar out of last year's team. But they're going to finish 2-10. And it's just a matter of can you appreciate the slow build of this program, even if the record is a disaster?
Well, the answer for fans is a resounding no, at least the ones that are vocal and or post or whatever. I think that answer is no.
But I think what's killing him, again, is the mistakes that we can see. Some of the decisions, the things with the quarterbacks against Jacksonville State.
But the
fourth down play against Jacksonville State. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things –
they're not helping themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what Corey's saying is accurate, and I do think the program's heading in the right direction, but it's hard to sell that when people have seen things that they can see that are bad.
Hence my question yesterday about what you sell. How do you sell this to recruits? You show them the Femrau, baby.
Well, he gave an impassioned answer. That was a good answer.
Well, he didn't bring up Femrau. I think next time you bring up the efficiency
I'll
numbers.
I'll text him later today and say, hey, here's some numbers,
buddy. You're 66th in offense.
Headliner questions forthcoming. Stay tuned.